forward to hearing big and great things from you.
I'll come back and then see you. Thank you.
No, we'll have a whole hour session about you, because you got a lot to talk about.
I do.
All right, you're listening to Good Morning Hello, Hedgeboro.com. That was folks from RBCC, Phi Theta Kappa. You just learned all about the great things that go on over there at RBCC, and check it out. Been my pleasure being with you, as I am over.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura Roll, your host for today's program. I'm also a licensed professional counselor with a private practice here in town. And I do Counselor's Chat mainly as a public service to promote good mental health. I don't think that we promote mental health nearly enough. I prefer to talk about mental health rather than mental illness. Excuse me. However, we also do talk about mental illness. As a licensed professional counselor, I do many things, as do most licensed professional counselors. We work in hospitals and other kinds of facilities, detoxes, rehabs, assisted living programs. We work with children, adult, the elderly. We work with inmates. We work with and within psychiatric hospitals. We work with couples. Many of us have private practices. And we are trained to do counseling. We are not social workers. Excuse me, who do counseling. We are counselors. And as a consequence to that, we have quite a bit of resources available to us to do just that, to counsel. So one of the reasons I do Counselor's Chat, the main reason I do Counselor's Chat, is to minimize the stigma around getting some help if you're struggling with issues such as anxiety or depression, addiction, obsessive compulsive disorder, eating disorders, post-traumatic stress disorder, personality disorders, relationship issues, codependency issues, adult children of dysfunction issues, just to name a few things. So today, my topic is about suicide prevention. And one of the reasons that I picked this topic is this is Suicide Prevention Week. And it is an extremely important topic. So often, we don't think about it. It's just not on our view. We hear a lot about violence. We hear a lot about gun violence. That's a lot in the news. We hear a lot about terrorism. We hear a lot about addiction, even though I think that we don't hear enough about addiction. We do hear some things about post-traumatic stress disorder as related to military, even though post-traumatic stress can happen to anyone who is struggling with a trauma. So any kind of trauma will elicit post-traumatic stress. However, suicide is not something we tend to talk about very often. And there are signs and symptoms for someone who is contemplating suicide. And it's really important to know that, to know what they are. A lot of times people may talk about things but not necessarily talk about suicide. They may not share a plan. However, they might want to talk about feeling hopeless or empty. Or they might say, I have no reason to live. They're little signals. They may be making a plan or looking for a way to kill themselves. Stockpiling pills, buying a gun, doing some research online about how to kill yourself. Yeah, people do that. But they may not do it where they're, hey, look what I found, okay? They may not do that. Even though they might say, oh, I just want to die, not take that for granted. They may talk about a great deal of guilt or shame that they're carrying around. And this guilt and shame can be very heavy, a very heavy burden. They may talk about feeling trapped or feeling as if there's just no solution to the problem. So often, and I think Robin Williams is probably an excellent case for this, he felt there was no solution to the problem. And so he took his own life rather than waiting to see if there is a solution. And quite often, and one of the things I say to my clients is that that things in life can be like a storm. Sometimes it's a quick summer storm, the wind blows up and the thunder and the lightning and it passes. Other times it can last and it can be pretty devastating. Like all of the rains that were down in Louisiana just last month. And the storm could be devastating. However, the storm always passes, the water recedes, and we rebuild. One of the things that happens is oftentimes when people feel there is no solution, that there is no way to rebuild, they don't wait to find out. And they may feel unbearable pain. It can be emotional pain, or it can be physical pain. Oftentimes, they talk about, and these are just some signs and symptoms, feeling like they're a burden to other people. I don't want to be a burden. I'm a burden to other people. They may be using alcohol or drugs more often. And sometimes people will overdose on purpose or drink themselves to death on purpose because they don't know any way else to get out of the cycle of addiction. So suicide does coincide with addiction. Sometimes someone is acting anxious or agitated, or they're withdrawing from family and friends. You may notice signs of depression, changes in eating patterns, changing in sleep habits, irritability, showing rage, talking about seeking revenge. And the revenge is that I'm not going to hurt you, but I'm going to hurt you by hurting me. You'll be sorry when I'm gone. That kind of revenge. Sometimes there's also great risk-taking that could lead to death, such as driving extremely fast. I'm going to even do things like bungee jumping or power sailing without secure enough things, nets to fall, to help catch a fall. There might be a lot of talking about or even thinking about death. So I'm often talking about it. Displaying extreme mood swings, meaning a sudden change from being very sad to very calm or very happy. And often the calm is something that happens. And the calm comes because they've made a decision. I think it was last year, maybe a year and a half ago, a young man flew a plane into a mountain, killing not only himself, but all the passengers on board. He was a pilot. Some of you might remember this story. He was going blind. And it was decided that what he actually did was commit suicide because he knew he was not going to be able to fly anymore. And when he made his decision, he was very calm. Giving away important possessions can be a sign. So, something that might be really important to me. You know, maybe I have a bracelet my father gave me and it's always been really precious to me, but I'm giving it away. And I'm giving other things away to people that I think would like them. Or as keepsakes. You know, I want you to have this so you can remember me when I'm gone. Saying goodbye to family and friends. There's a huge, and sometimes, you know, it's noticing a tonal difference. So, see you later versus goodbye. Okay, so it's noticing those kinds of things. And also putting all your affairs in order. I'm going to have a will. I'm actually going to find myself a burial plot. I'm going to write down what I would like done for my funeral. All of these things, I'm getting prepared. I'm lining it all up. So these are warning signs for you to know, so that you can get help for that person as soon as possible. Now, as a licensed professional counselor, I have a duty to warn. That's what it's called. If someone is threatening suicide or homicide, child abuse or elder abuse, I have a duty to warn. So, if there is clear and imminent threat, and that's always a little foggy, because I have clients that do talk about suicide. They talk about wanting to die. They talk about the pain that they're in and how they wish it would end. And my question generally is, do you have a plan? Of course, people can lie to me. Generally speaking, they may say no. Sometimes they say, yeah, actually, I do have a plan. Then I ask, do you know when you're going to carry this plan out? Sometimes they say no. See, it's tricky. It's not imminent. Sometimes if they say yes, I'm in the process of, and I have had that happen. I am in the process of, I'm going to be killing myself by the time I get to the bridge and going, and I've got to take action right away. But it's not something that we take lightly. If I have a client who does not have a particular date set, but they have a couple of possible plans, I would want them to see a psychiatrist as soon as possible. See, one of the problems is we're told to send someone to the hospital. The first people at the hospital, they do a suicide checklist. They go through a checklist. You have a plan. When you plan on doing this? You know, looking at some of these factors. And sometimes people say, well, I really don't have a plan, or I'm not sure when I'm going to do it. They send them home. They don't go on suicide watch. But it's really important for someone to, when somebody says, I have a plan, I'm going to do it tomorrow afternoon, I've got everything all lined up, I've given my things away, I feel great about it. I haven't felt this peaceful in a long time. Boy, that's a red flag. So, there are definite risk factors. Suicide doesn't discriminate. So it's not one group tends to have more suicide than others. Though military has a little bit higher rate, but that's because I think we also talk about it more. We talk about post-traumatic stress, the fact that our veterans aren't receiving the services they need. Something like 21 or 23 veterans commit suicide every day. It affects people of all genders and ages and ethnicities. So everyone is at risk of suicide. And it is complex. There's no single cause. It's not where I'm just feeling hopeless and helpless. So there are different factors that contribute to someone making a decision to commit suicide. There are some characteristics. One is depression, substance abuse, or other mental disorders. So, depression can be so dark, sometimes and so deep, that people don't realize that there's another way out. They don't realize that they may need to get on medication, go to counseling, learn some coping skills, get involved with other activities, volunteer, find hobbies. The depression may be very deep, very painful. And that would be someone who is at risk. And other mental disorders. Someone who is bipolar is a higher risk. Someone who has a borderline personality disorder. One of the characteristics of a borderline personality disorder is cutting. So if I have a borderline personality disorder and I'm cutting myself, I may cut too deep. There are certain medical conditions where someone might say, I have brain cancer and I'm probably not going to survive it, so rather than go through the treatments and prolong the agony, I'm just going to take my life. So something like that. Someone who has chronic pain, chronic physical pain. Learning how to live with chronic pain, especially if the pain is on a scale of 1 to 10, always ranging around the 9, 10, even 11, very painful physical pain, really high up there on the scale. They may consider suicide just as a relief from the pain. If someone has had prior suicidal attempts, they are a risk factor. It may be even years. In other words, let's say you're a teenager and you've thought about it, and then you're in your 60s and you're thinking about it again. Some people just never think about it. Like, it's just, they never think of suicide, but others contemplate it periodically throughout their lives. They become a higher risk factor. If there is a family history of mental disorders and or substance abuse. So people with substance abuse have a higher risk of committing suicide. And again, as I said, it's because they don't feel they can get out of it. And the same thing with mental disorders. They don't think they can get out of it. They don't go for help. And it's painful. Another risk is family violence, which can be physical and or sexual abuse. So if you have been, if you grew up in a violent family, or you are a teenager and your family is violent, if you've been sexually abused, the chances of suicide go up because it's so painful. If you've been recently released from prison or jail, there is such a sense of hopelessness. So often what happens is someone is ready to leave. They're given a little suitcase of whatever they came in with. Might even just be a little shopping bag of things. The door opens and they go out. There's nothing really set up for them. Now, some places have some halfway houses and things like that, but there's not enough. And so they return to the street, return to their dysfunctional families, have no job, nowhere to go, become very depressed, either begin the whole process of crime again, even though they may say, I don't really want to do it, I have no other option. There's also being institutionalized. I have, I think it's the Shawshank Redemption is a good example of that, where one of the characters, he did his time and he was like in his mid to late 80s and he's out there on his own and he hangs himself. He was institutionalized. He had no idea how to negotiate life in the free world. And it was too frightening, too daunting, too overwhelming. He was not prepared. And sometimes what happens is suicide can cause other people. In other words, if my best friend commits suicide, I may also commit suicide. It's sort of like that. They call it copycat. My favorite celebrity commits suicide, or peer family member. And sometimes what happens is it triggers others because the pain of the loss is so great. They think, well, if they did it, I can do it. Now, a lot of people have some of these risk factors but never attempt suicide. So it's important to note that suicide is not a normal response to stress, though suicidal thoughts and actions are a sign of distress. These signs should not be ignored. If nothing else, at least get someone in who is falling within these risk factors, they at least need to be in counseling to learn some good coping skills. And oftentimes it's families and friends who first recognize the warning signs, so it's important to know what they are. It's just like it's important to say, you know what, my 15-year-old, they stopped hanging out with their friends that they've had since kindergarten. They're hanging out with a meaner street crowd. Their clothes are changing, you know, fashion statement. They're going goth, whatever. They're not doing well in school. They're hanging out late. No, they're not showing up to class. Gee, this huge change might indicate something. Maybe my child's getting involved with drugs and alcohol. So it's really important to recognize the warning signs. And oftentimes it's family and friends that first recognize them. So to know what they are can be extremely helpful. So, interestingly enough, men are more likely to die by suicide than women. However, women are more likely to attempt suicide. Why is that? Well, men tend to use more deadlier methods, such as using guns or suffocation. Women are more likely to attempt suicide by poisoning, in other words, pills, sometimes cutting. The highest rate of suicidal deaths amongst women is found between the ages of 45 and 64, while the highest rate for men is ages 75 plus. However, that does not exclude children and young adults, who are also at times at risk for suicide. And here's a scary statistic. Suicide is the second leading cause of death for young people between the ages of 15 and 34. the second leading cause of death. So, on that note, I am going to take a little break and play some commercials, and I will be back with Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura Roll, your host for today's program.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
I'm your eyes remain, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambee's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambee's Purely Delicious ice cream, gelato, and sorbet made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31 south of Clinton. Pambee's. Purely delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi and Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura Roll, your host for today's program. And I am talking about suicide. It is National Suicide Prevention Week. Unfortunately, we have too many people who are ending their lives because of suicide. It doesn't limit itself to a particular age group. Though men have a stronger tendency to, I will say, follow through only because of the type of weapons they choose. Women tend to use pills or cut themselves, where men may choose to use a gun, or they may hang themselves. You don't usually hear women using guns or hanging themselves for suicide. Not that it doesn't happen, mind you. It's just not as frequent. Children, people of all ages, all ethnicities, all social economic groups. It doesn't discriminate. And there are definite signs, which I shared a little bit earlier. I'm just going to just quickly talk about them again. In other words, appearing sad or depressed, talking about suicide, talking about ending their life, withdrawing from friends and family, losing interest in hobbies, handing things out, sometimes becoming very calm, decrease in performance of schoolwork or work, or feeling like life is not worth living, a sense of purposelessness or powerlessness, feeling trapped, and talking about feeling trapped, there's no way out. Being depressed, So these are some signs that someone might be contemplating suicide. If you notice anything like that, it's really important to ask, are you thinking about killing yourself? It's not an easy question. However, interestingly enough, asking that at-risk individual, okay, can actually help save a life. If they say yes, or if you think that they are, even though they may have said no, but you think that they really are, it's important to keep them safe. So that means you may want to remove their access to things like guns, knives, pills, anything that can be life-threatening. It can make a difference. So, you know, if someone has a plan to kill themselves with a gun, and you lock up or remove all the guns, then it's going to be a little bit harder for them to do that. The other thing, too, is to be there for that person. Listen carefully and learn what that individual is thinking and feeling. Findings suggest that acknowledging and talking about suicide may, in fact, reduce rather than increase suicidal thoughts. So, if someone comes and says, a friend of yours, I'm thinking about killing themselves, rather than saying, oh my gosh, don't talk about such a thing, it's actually better to say, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. I want to be here. I want to listen. Do you have a plan? Are you thinking about it? Do you have a plan? You may want to then say, why don't we call for help? There is the National Suicide Prevention Line, 1-800-8255 or 1-800-TALK. So again, 1-800-TALK. If the person that is feeling suicidal cannot or does not wish to pick up the phone, you're with them, you make the call. Sometimes when someone is thinking in that manner, the idea of picking up a phone and talking to someone who is going to quote-unquote talk them out of it is not what they want to do. But you can make a difference just by being there, staying connected with them, making that phone call for them, have them sit there next to you and say, look, we're going to get through this together. Seek out professional help. Talk to a spiritual advisor. Maybe even another family member. Listed other people into the process. So I have a client who has talked about suicide and has given some tentative plans, no date, tentative plans. Had that person sign a release form so I can talk to family members. So we could talk to a psychiatrist so we can get the person help. So talking about it is very important. And to stay connected. So it's following up. It's even after sort of the initial shock, for lack of any other word, of someone that you know that you love is talking about suicide, has a plan, even after that shock wears down and you've gotten them some help, stay connected. Very important. There are studies that show that the number of suicide deaths definitely goes down when someone follows up with the at-risk person. So, follow-up is good. The other thing, too, is I know for myself, someone who might be talking about it no real plan. And remember, I'm more trained, so it's not necessarily something that I would say to do just if you're a novice at this, but someone who has reached that point of calm, giving their things away, they, yes, I have a plan. You decide to stay with them, stick things out, make plans. Not suicidal plans. You want to go to lunch next Tuesday? How about we get together on Friday? I have a movie I want to see. Would you like to come and see it with me? For me, it's like, okay, how about we make an appointment for 2 days from now, and I'm going to make a phone appointment. I expect to call you. As a matter of fact, I want you to call me. So I begin to set down some plans so that I know that that person is going to show up, because that's generally what happens. It's hard to clear your calendar, so there's nothing on there except suicide. So making sure, and again, it gets following up. Now, you know, we just want you to remember, we've got a meeting next Tuesday. Wait a day, just calling again, and, you know, we have a meeting next Tuesday. Just want to check in, see how you're doing, remind you that there is a meeting or a session or a lunch or going to the movies or whatever it is that you have planned. There are many types of psychosocial interventions that can be beneficial for individuals who have attempted suicide or are contemplating it. And I'm going to talk about those in a few minutes. And also about how to take care of yourself. I'm going to take another short commercial break. I am Ruth Altamura Roll, your host for today's program, and I will be back with Counselor's Chat.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura Roll, your host for today's program. I am also a licensed professional counselor, and I have a private practice here in Flemington, and I bring Counselor's Chat to you as a public service. I am also open to taking new clients, so it doesn't it's not something that I don't want to do. I'm always open to taking new clients. If someone likes what I'm saying, if they want to find out more information about who I am, what I do, you can visit me on the web at www.alterolcounselor.net. That's alterol with two L's, counselor, O-R.net. You can also call me at 908-237-2899. That's 908-237-2899. Leave a message. If I am with a client, I don't usually pick up my phone, but I do try and get back as soon as possible. Like I said, I don't leave a waiting list. I deal with all kinds of issues, anger management, grief and loss, depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, OCD issues. I focus a lot on and work a lot with people who are struggling with addiction, who may have grown up in a dysfunctional family where there was either addiction or some other type of dysfunction, codependency, couples counseling. So if you're finding that you're struggling with any of these things, it's important to get some counseling. And having someone who's objective, because that's part of what counseling is about, having someone who is objective that you can talk to in a safe place where whatever you share with is kept confidential. Those things are really important. In addition, learning new coping skills. So if you're interested in setting up an appointment, you can again visit me on the web at www.alterolcounselor.net or call me at 908-237-2899. Or if you would just like to leave a message about the show, that would be great to hear from you. Or if you want to leave a suggested topic, that would be great too. I think I'm losing my voice today. anyway, you can also visit me and follow me on Counselor's Chat Facebook. Counselor's Chat. Love to see you there. You can make some comments, like a show. Go through Counselor's Chat and see what other shows I have, and I go into the archives of 100N Chamber Radio to listen to some of the other topics. So, speaking of topics, I want to get back to the topic at hand today, which is this week is Suicide Prevention Week. So, I talked a little bit about what to look for if you're noticing things with people, how to handle it, people who are at risk. Getting help is important. One of the things I mentioned really early on is veterans. Veterans and veterans crisis line is really important because there's many veterans that sadly are committing suicide because they're not getting the help they need for post-traumatic stress disorder or depression. So, they can call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. There's someone there 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Even if you're not enrolled in the VA or in VA healthcare, you can still talk to someone. There's also 1-800-TALK. Okay, so that's the other one. I think one of the most difficult ways of, how do I want to say this? When a loved one commits suicide, I think that emotion is so overwhelming. Because they made a choice to leave. It's gut-wrenching. And chances are those of us that are left behind are consumed by guilt. I should have done this. I should have seen it. I should have known. I could have called. I could have done something to prevent it. So there's a lot of very powerful emotions when you have a friend or loved one commit suicide. And I strongly suggest, if that happens, that you do get some counseling to deal with the shock and anger, the guilt and despair, the confusion, the feelings of rejection, all of those things. And also the stigma. There's a stigma placed on it. You know, my brother committed suicide or my father committed suicide. Suddenly the world looks at you differently. Because people have trouble discussing it and treat it like it's contagious in some way. The thing is that it's important to adopt healthy coping skills. So you might want to keep in touch with your friends, the people that are close to you and family members who are supportive, and lean on them for help. There's no right way to grieve. You know, we sometimes talk about these stages of grief. No such thing as a stage of grief. It makes it sound like, gee, once I've completed anger and I move on to sadness, once I completed that and move on to accept, it's all over the place. One day I could accept it, the next day I'm in denial, the next day I'm bargaining, then I'm angry, and then I'm accepting, and then I'm angry again. So there is no steps to grief. Be prepared for painful reminders such as anniversaries, holidays, things like that, that are going to be painful because there's memories around that. And don't rush yourself. If a loved one committed suicide, don't say, I should be over it by now. By now. I hear that a lot. Shouldn't I be over it by now? Not necessarily. As a matter of fact, this is something that you may carry for the rest of your life. It may not affect you as so deeply as it does at first, where it shocks you into almost immobility. However, there's going to be things that are going to happen that this is really sad. I really miss this person. That's a normal part of grieving. And there's going to be setbacks, meaning one day is going to be a lot better than another, where I'm thinking everything's fine and a song comes on the radio and forget it. And most definitely, consider getting support. Now, I know a lot of funeral homes do offer support if you ask for it. Going to a counselor, going to your place of worship, and seeking out and having your friends around you. All of these things can be very useful to the healing process. So, again, we don't necessarily think about it all that much. We don't talk about it. We sometimes are ashamed by it. We think that there's something wrong with someone. Like there's something fundamentally wrong with them, and they cast a dark shadow over our family because they've committed suicide. Anything that we talk about, bring out into the open and have a discussion about, removes the shame around it. A lot of times people, like I said, a symptom of suicidal ideation may be a heavy burden of guilt and shame. However, if someone in your family or a friend commits suicide, you are left with a heavy burden of guilt and shame. It's so important to talk about it. Talk about it. This is what I feel. This is what it feels like. If you have a friend that you think is contemplating suicide, talk to them. If you yourself are thinking about suicide, talk to someone. Talk to someone. Get professional help. Seek out a spiritual leader. a good friend. Someone who's willing to sit there and listen to you and be with you and share with you and have empathy for you. Someone who's not going to say, "Will you get over it already?" That never helps. So learning how to practice empathy can be very, very positive. One of the things that is interesting is that there is some research going on to look at who is more at risk for suicide and how to prevent it. There is an understanding that there are some long-term factors that go all the way back to childhood experiences. I think doing research is a good thing. So again, if it's something that you or a friend is struggling with, there is help. You can call the National Suicide Prevention Hotline, 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-TALK. And for veterans, you can also make a call. Let's see, where did it go? Oh, here it is. It is 1-800-273-8255. So 1-800-273-8255. It's the Veterans Crisis Hotline. So if you get through to that, you then press 1. And in this day and age, you can also text. I'm seeing here you can text to 838-255. That's 838-255. And you can get help. For anyone who is contemplating suicide, it will pass. The physical pain, the emotional pain, whatever the pain is that you're suffering from, it will pass. In the meantime, reach out for help. Make a phone call. Set up an appointment to go see a counselor. If you have a very strong plan, I'm going to do it tonight, this afternoon, get yourself to a hospital. Your life is precious. You may not realize that it's precious to you, but it's precious to everyone else that knows you. And once suicide is completed, there is no turning back. There is help. So if you're a veteran, the crisis line is 1-800-237-8255. Otherwise, it's 1-800-273-TALK. And again, you can always contact a counselor, call 911, go directly to the hospital. It's not something to take lightly.